Hey, this is the Rebel Room right here on LasVegasSun.com. Ray Brewer alongside Mike Grimala talking all things UNLV athletics. And it's Victory Monday, Michael, for the Rebels. The UNLV football team breaks its losing streak, one of the nation's longest. They grabbed the program's first win since 2019 on the road at New Mexico, getting it done. And I tell you what, for as bad as they've been, to see them celebrate and rejoice and how they rallied around Coach Aroro, to me, is more important than the outcome of the game against New Mexico. It shows that despite the struggle, the players haven't lost confidence in their coach. And
yeah, they really celebrated that win as they should. I thought that I was going to see a lot more negativity feedback from the fans. Like, why are you celebrating? You're 1-8. I thought I was going to see a lot of that on social media and commentary just because that's kind of how cynical people are. But I didn't really see much of that. I saw most people saying like, hey, good for you. Much needed win. I saw a lot of positivity after that. So yeah, and the players you could tell were fired up after that. Obviously it's just been a long time for everyone involved in that program. So they really, really needed it. 0-12 this year would have just been, you know, it would have been a killer.
Yeah. And it just goes to show that there's so many winnable games in the Mount West, and you know, they arguably left some victories on the field earlier in the year against San Jose State and Utah State, or they at least had a chance to win. Even if you go back to the opener, the overtime loss to Eastern Washington, and you just think maybe, well, what could have been? Because they are getting better. I mean, there's no doubt about it. No matter what you think about the program or the head coach, it's a step in the right direction, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered. And you know, I think you're coming down the home stretch of the season now, playing your best ball in 2 years, and sky's the limit.
I don't know if the sky is the limit, but they're definitely in a better spot than they would be if they were 0-9. And coming off a loss to that brutal New Mexico team, that's the worst team I've seen all year. Like, UNLV is better than that team. So that's a game that they absolutely had to win. They got some lucky breaks along the way in that game, which, you know, that happens in every game. They took advantage and made the plays. Now I wonder, can they steal another one this year? I mean, if you had asked us, you know, a week ago, two wins would have seemed miraculous for this season. But hey, they got three games left. They got Hawaii at home. I don't know. They go up to Air Force. I don't know. You know, San Diego State's probably the game that you just cross off immediately, where they probably not going to have a chance. But can they steal another one before the season ends and really, you know, sort of go into the offseason with some momentum?
Yeah, I haven't seen the line for the Hawaii game on Saturday, but I would think that would be your best case, just because Hawaii's got to make the trip all the way to Las Vegas to play UNLV. And more important, Michael, the Rebels, they have some momentum on their side right now after just what happened on Saturday. For me, I would say the goal of the final few weeks of the season would be to try to get some questions answered ahead of time. You know, it stinks that going into spring ball, you're going to have a question of who your quarterback is, right?
Yes, definitely. Doug Brumfield has been hurt all year. He doesn't seem like he's the kind, like a durable type of player. Cameron Friel's coming off an up and down freshman year. You got to bring in Jaden Maivea. It's going to be an open competition, I would assume.
Yeah, and for me, going into year three of the coach, you want to have that settled. You know, competition is great. Cream rises to the top. But I think UNLV still is going to have inexperience at that position, and they're going to need first-team reps for whoever the quarterback is going into spring ball. And, you know, I just think that you have a chance right now to really grab some momentum going into next year. You've got, you know, a lot of infrastructure and momentum already in place with the training center and – Allegiant Stadium. Maybe you didn't get to take great advantage of that the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but here we are, you know, year three. The guys that are going to be in the program are going to be mostly a recruit of Marcus Arroyo, and he's going to have a chance to put his imprint on the program. He's obviously not going anywhere despite the bad 2 years. He's got that Lockstone contract. Somebody described it as more job security than the first place team in the league. So he'll be back. And I just think, Michael, these last 3 weeks, you have to get momentum going into year three.
Yeah, I mean,
don't disagree with me.
I'm not.
Yeah, you're 100% right, is what I
want. You are 100% right. My next question would be, take that momentum in the offseason, and where do you go with that into next season? You're going into year three under this coach. You still don't have a quarterback solidified. You're coming off a 1 or 2 win season. Like, what does year three look like in this program for you that's acceptable, that keeps you excited about next year?
And not to be Debbie Downer, but Charles Williams, congrats to him. He broke the program's all-time rushing record.
Well done.
He's carried the ball 85% of their carries this year. So he won't be there next year, and you have really no proven commodity at tailback. So now you're looking at year three with inexperience at quarterback, simply because you're either going to be starting Doug Brunfeld, who's looked great in a handful of reps, or a true sophomore, which is fine. And you're going to have a tailback with limited experience. So that there's definitely a hill to climb for UNLV, but they took a solid first step on Saturday. You know, they got that, you know, that win that was elusive to get. I don't care about the opponent, how bad New Mexico is. They won on the road. They found a way to get it done. Maybe 3 weeks ago, they don't do that. And the fact that the kids, like I said earlier, were so excited and rallied with their coach, I just think that's a significant turning point for me, because teams that are winless like that, the players really aren't all in on the coach, and it appears to be the players are.
Yeah. That was, I guess, the one of the main themes of the post game was they did not give up on the season, which I thought was a possibility after, you know, 5 consecutive close losses. And then you just go up to Reno and you get blown off the field, you know, where it's clear those two teams are just a world of difference in talent level. And you're just not on the same playing field as that team. And then just get blown out like that. I thought there was a real chance that these 4 games would just become like a phantom limb for this team, and they would just sleepwalk through the last month of the year, take their 0-12 and just want to get it over with. But they didn't do that. Like, they came out focused. They played hard. They got punched in the mouth at New Mexico, which is, I guess, easy to overlook since they won. But I mean, they gave up a touchdown on the opening drive. Then they answered, and then they gave up a 75-yard one-play touchdown drive. Like, they got punched in the mouth a couple times early in that game. It would have been easy for them, if they had given up on the coach, if they had given up on the season, it would have been easy for them to say, you know, here we go again. It's over. Let's just pack it in, finish this game, get on the buses. But they battled. They kept battling. I definitely agree with you that that's a good sign for just the overall buy-in, in terms of the players continuing to buy in to the program and the coaches. So for the guys who are coming back next year, that does give you a leg up going into the offseason.
And you look, the defense didn't give up any points in the second half. Now, granted, you know, Glass, New Mexico, one of the worst offenses in the nation. But, yeah, you know, they gave up that long touchdown, like you said. They gave up a 90-some-yard drive to open the game. So the fact that they made adjustments, they made plays, they beat up on a team they should have. My guy Kyle Boudreaux from Liberty High was all over the field, Michael. The defense was, I think, the difference, arguably.
Yeah. No, I think that it was probably – the most complimentary team effort that they've played this year. When the defense gave them good field position, which they did twice by getting turnovers deep in New Mexico territory, the offense didn't blow it. You know, they took advantage, they capitalized. And then when the offense, you know, did its job and flipped field position, the defense was able to get stops. It was just the best all around. And that's what happens when, like, when you win a game. It's funny that we're talking about this as if it's some like amazing foreign concept. But that's just how you, that's just what happens when you win a game. It's like your defense plays well, your offense takes advantage of the defense. You're sort of feeding into each other and you just, you win the game by two touchdowns. That happens. It should happen, you know, like every other week or so at UNLV. And maybe that's what is in store next year. But yeah, that was a well-played game for them. If they give you that same effort three more times this year, you could get another win.
Yeah, and without question, the players are going to be definitely engaged this week, ready to go for the final 3 weeks of the season. UNLV opened as a three-point betting underdog to Hawaii at home. So Vegas, which we live in, thinks the game's going to be close. Hawaii, a three-point favorite against the UNLV Fighting Football team. So anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Also good for Marcus Arroyo that he won a game before Kevin Kruger, which was in some question. He got a 2-year head start and he just got in under the buzzer. So good for him.
Yes. Speaking of Kevin Kruger, the UNLV basketball team, it's finally here. The moment, I guess, we've been waiting for. Kevin Kruger, I think, expectations are not through the roof, but definitely enhanced for a first-time coach. But the Rebels, they host Gardner Webb on Wednesday at the MAC to get things going. And then they got Cal on Saturday, followed by North Dakota State on Monday before they get into the big main event on the Strip next week. But, I mean, listen, Michael, this is a basketball university. There's some hype around the team this year. Granted, they're picked to finish, what, seventh in the league, according to the media. But it's go time. What do you make of the Rebels' chances this year?
I really don't have any solid idea of what the team is going to look like, how they're going to play. I think that they are going to be, if I was going to broad stroke it, defensive minded. I think when Kevin Kruger is forced to make a decision of whether he wants to play, insert a defensive minded lineup or get more offense on the court and more shooting on the court, I think they're going to err on the side of defense and swapping bodies in and out and trying to stay fresh. But when you ask me what we're going to look at, I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know. I think that's why you saw them get picked seventh. There's just so much uncertainty. All the players that they're counting on this year were part-time players at other schools, a lot of them. We don't know. That's why it's kind of an exciting opener. The whole roster is turned over. There's definitely some potential. I think there's a good chance they finish better than seventh. But we just have to see what it looks like, because right now, I don't know.
That is true. Now, but you do know, though, Michael, that they're more athletic than they were last year, right? They've got more length than they did last year. And, you know, they arguably have one of the league's better players, Bryce Hamilton. So they've got a lot going for them. I mean, I'm sure we could list off a few things that aren't going for them. But I tell you what, I love the hire with Kevin Kruger. I love even more that Lon Kruger retired to move back to Vegas, because anybody you could talk basketball with the last name Kruger is a good thing. And I just, you know, it pains me that this team hasn't been to the tournament in 7 or 8 years, right?
Yep, 2013.
So it somewhere along the way, that's got to be rectified. And at least this year, if you look at the schedule, there's a few games along the way where if you win them, you could get some credit to your resume, right?
For sure. They have, if this was a team that was like capable of putting together a resume, the games are there. The games are there to be won and to make your case for like an at-large berth, if that's the kind of team you were putting together this year.
Okay, so the toughest games on the schedule are Michigan at T-Mobile on the 19th. 8 days later, UCLA that went to the final, that lost in the national title game last year at the MAC, correct?
Yep.
And then at SMU will be tough. Those are kind of your three chances to build your resume, if you will. Do you think they win either the UCLA or the Michigan game?
I don't think that that's a fair expectation for this team, just because in the grand scheme of things, this UNLV team is in a rebuilding position. Now, Kevin Kruger may look at the landscape of college basketball and say, hey, I can build a team with transfers and we can rebuild right away. And this is going to be a quick rebuild and it's a 1 year rebuild, but you're still rebuilding. Whereas like Michigan and UCLA, these teams are national title contenders. Like both of those teams are coming into this season thinking, let's win the national title. Uh-huh. That's their goal. And they've been there for a couple of years now. Like they are settled. Like they know what they're doing. Like they're just, those programs are in different places than UNLV right now. So even if UNLV comes out of the gates and they're way better than everyone thinks, it's like, it's still like a team that's kind of finding its way. I don't expect them to win either of those games. Like I just, that's too much, but I think
Michael Thanksgiving Saturday, Freddie Banks jersey retirement day, the Kruger's corner is gonna be rocking, that the Rebels can't get one, 14,000 vaccinated fans at the MAC.
You know what those games scream to me, and I know that people are going to be tired of this after, you know, because Marcus Arroyo brings this out a lot, but those games to me, they scream moral victories. Like those are opportunities where if you play Michigan down to the final minute, or if you're down two against UCLA and you got a shot to win the game at the buzzer and you miss, it's like those are moral victories where it's like people are going to be excited. They're going to say, wow, those are two teams that could end up facing off in the Final Four, and UNLV just played them down to the wire. Like those are set up to be moral victories to me. If you walk away with a win in any of those games, that's going to be a huge deal and will definitely get people fired up about the program. But I don't think that either of those are going to happen. They're so early in the year. I have a hard time seeing them win, but moral victories, I'm signed. I'm getting on board for that.
Are you going to put that in the headline? Rebels win, comma, morally, comma, against UCLA in loss?
I know that no one wants to hear, but that's just what it looks like to me. Maybe they will win one of those two games. Like maybe Kevin Kruger will turn out to be a great, like maybe he's the next young great coach. And he just takes his team and they're great right away. And his system works and his style works. And they take off, you know, right out of the starting blocks. But I don't know. That seems like a pie in the sky kind of hope for them to win one of those games. There's plenty of other games on the schedule that they can win. Like if you tell me like, hey, can this team win 20 games this year? I'm like, sure. They've got to, if the majority of the players on the roster hit their best case scenario and they fit together, you can win 20 games. Like there's 20 winnable games on the schedule for sure. So focus on
Seattle, Hartford, Omaha, San Diego, right? Whittier College, W.
Yeah. It's, you know, then you get into the Mountain West and, you know, 18 games there. You could go over 500 in the Mountain West. Like you've got New Mexico, Fresno State, San Jose State. Utah State's probably going to be a little bit, take a step back this year. Like there's a lot of winnable games on the schedule. So 20 games, I think is more of a realistic, like, hey, that would get everybody, you know, that's a really solid attainable goal, more so than like putting all your eggs in the basket of like, hey, let's beat Michigan or let's beat UCLA on our home court.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Who is the best, not junior college transfer in UNLV program history, but best transfer in UNLV program history? Because junior college, Tark got a lot of kids from JC, Larry Johnson, most notably, but even the likes of like a Moses Scurry came JC. But I've always, Michael, been under the impression that a transfer player is somebody else's garbage, if you will. But with the transfer portal, not necessarily the case. And I've got a very good argument to make here that you're going to appreciate. But first, I want to drop a little knowledge on you historically. Who was the best transfer in UNLV basketball program history?
The best transfer in UNLV history? Let's see. Was Sean Marion a junior college guy, or was he a straight
junior college guy? JC, yeah.
In my time, since I've been covering the team, I would probably say Mike Moser. Like when he came over from UCLA and had like that great first year, UNLV. Then he kind of tailed off his final season here. But Moser and like Kem Burch would probably be the two guys that like immediately jumped to mind. Obviously, before my time, Kevin Kruger, when he started that grad transfer thing, was a big piece of that, their last really good team. So those are the three in like my era since I've been covering college basketball and paying attention. I would say that come to mind. I'm probably missing someone obvious, but historically, who was the best transfer?
For me, I would say Anthony Jones, who played at Georgetown and in the early 80s. I don't know what year did Georgetown win the national championship, but he played at Georgetown, I think like 81 to 83, and then he transferred here. To me, was the marquee guy, and Georgetown won in 84 after he left. But either way, that guy was to me a notable transfer. And I only asked because the transfer portal is a different beast, and there's not enough data right now to really say how it works. Like if you get someone out of the portal, is that a good way to build a program or not? Now, you have seen schools like UNR build teams that, you know, win tournament games based on transfer players. But there's two types of transfers, right? There's guys like Donovan Yap, who UNLV should have never had, from Arborview, right? Who was outclassed, who has gotten in the portal and transferred to like Fresno or somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or there was another guy who transferred to Pacific, right? Those old PCAA schools. And then there's guys who UNLV have on their roster, right? They got 10 transfers. Guys from Texas, Michael, and Oklahoma, Michael. Guys who, well, you say, didn't play a lot of minutes and their stats aren't jumping off the page. They played against a higher level of competition. They played against national champion Baylor. They played against Kansas. And now they're coming down a notch and they're going to have an opportunity to do something. And they were battle tested in practice against that Big 12 competition. So it's not like taking Cody Doolin from San Francisco, who was all world against, you know, Santa Clara and Portland and whoever. It's taking guys that were, you know, playing guys who were in the NBA on ESPN. And I think that makes them a little better. Do you agree with anything I just said?
I do agree that these guys are, all you got to do is go down to practice and watch them play like, you know, one drill, for, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes. And you can see that these are power conference athletes. UNLV definitely under the previous regime with TJ Otzenberger, they de-emphasized athleticism. That's all there is to it. Like that's what TJ Otzenberger believed. You know, he believed that it wasn't about athleticism and being jumping and getting above the rim. He thought it was about passing, being cerebral, knowing how to space the floor, knowing how to warp a defense, shooting the ball, playing smart. That's what he wanted to build. And Kevin Kruger is like, no, let's go to Oklahoma. Let's go to Texas. Let's get this 6'7", 200-pound small forward who can dunk, you know, windmill between his legs without even trying. And let's fill the court with those guys and unleash them on the Mountain West and see what happens. So, like, I think that, like, definitely this team is – It looks more like a power conference roster, giving it the eye test, than they have, you know, in the past few years. So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know, like, if you're a fan, go ahead and get excited. Like, definitely you should be excited. Like, there's going to be some nights where they look really impressive and it all
they
works.
They look like a real basketball team now.
They do. Like, they run a pick and roll in practice, and they drop a little bounce pass to Royce Ham, roll into the basket, and he catches it and he jumps off 2 feet and he just throws down a monster dunk that really no one on the team could do. Like Mbaka Jean could dunk last year, but, you know, he's got to stop and gather himself and go out. It's like, it's got to be the perfect circumstances where it's like Royce Ham, just catch it, jump and dunk. Victor Uwakor, catch it, dunk it. Like Donovan Williams, dunk it from the free throw line. They're filled with athletes. So like, it's definitely like you bring in those power conference guys, like you're saying, they don't have long track records of performing, but like these are the guys that fill up those. These are the guys that fill up the benches on those leagues and make them such deep competitive leagues. So I can see what you're saying. If you're a fan, go ahead and get excited about that, because there's a chance that they could be really good.
Because the excitement level for me is better than it was through Marvin's tenure and TJ's tenure. The UNLV is 0-0. They play a game in 2 days. I'm more optimistic now than I would have been in the last 5 years, right?
Even more so than the Menzies year when he got McCoy and Justin and Hardy and Jordan Johnson and those guys. I thought that team was going to be good.
That is a good – that's true. That's true. But Menzies, you know, one of his problems is he didn't do a great job of marketing himself. So we couldn't really get excited about that, where I think Kruger has a little more, he's letting a little more in to see what he has. Listen, look at the league. How does UNLV, and I know the answer to my question, so it's a dumb question. How does UNLV get picked 7th in that league? You're telling me there's 6 better teams than UNLV in the Mountain West?
Because no one knows what UNLV has. Like, no one knows these guys on their roster. It's just so unknown that no one wants to, you can't pick them 2nd. You may think that, like, hey, in terms of athleticism and just the roster and potential, this is the 2nd best team in the league, but you just, like, in good conscience, you can't pick them 2nd just because, like, these guys could all be bad. Like, they, like Royce Ham, Awakor, Donovan Williams, Josh Baker, like all these guys that they're expecting to play roles and be good and just come in and dominate from the power school, they might not be good. Like, we don't know for a fact yet. And so if you pick them 2nd and then they finish 10th, like, which is also on the table, then it's like
they're not finishing.
So it's very safe to just put them set. Like, you put them 7th, there's 3 or 4 teams that are going to be bottom feeders that you're pretty confident UNLV will be better than. Like, 6th, 7th is that safe place to slot them in preseason.
So they're going to be better than San Jose this year?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Okay. Thank God. Okay, so who are the – give me the top 4 teams in the league.
Top 4 teams in the league, I'd say, you know, Colorado State's 1, San Diego State is 2, and then maybe like –
don't say it.
Like Boise State, Reno, Fresno State kind of bunched all together in that second pair.
There's no way that – Michael, are you listening to what you're saying?
You got a problem with Reno?
No, Reno I'm fine with. They've got a decent coach who's had a lot of success navigating the Mountain West. But Fresno? They're not as good as Fresno?
I believe they were voted below Fresno in the preseason.
Who's voting in this? It's Fresno.
Fresno State 6th, UNLV 7th.
What Fresno have?
They got Orlando Robinson. Don't you remember?
One guy.
The Las Vegas kid.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Dude, you mad? I mean, you put Fresno's lineup out there and you put them next to UNLV's lineup, and it's a Cadillac against the Toyota Corolla. There's no way that Fresno or – I mean, these – I just gotta figure this out. I'm okay with UNLV not. Go ahead.
Those are the results of the poll. If you ask me specifically, in my vote, I did put UNLV 6th and Fresno 7th. So I did pick UNLV ahead of Fresno. So, like, but everyone else has Fresno 6th, UNLV 7th.
I mean, I'm just saying that, yeah, it's embarrassing, Michael. I mean, and if Colorado State, and God bless them, it's a tough place to play. If they're the best team in the league and they win the league, God bless them. But I don't see that happening. You know, whatever. I just think that UNLV is going to be a tough out because they're going to be bigger and physical. Are they going to be a great shooting team? I don't know. Do they have a lot of backups at the guard spot? Probably not. The key to success in college basketball is having good ball handlers. Does UNLV have that? Unlikely. But the wheels are in motion. They've got a guy, Bryce Hamilton, who 2 years ago was unstoppable in league play, right?
Yep.
They got size. They got athleticism. I don't know. Maybe they're the seventh best team. Maybe they lose to Air Force, San Jose, and Fresno. Maybe they should be demoted to go play the CSN Coyotes. I just don't see it.
It's just – I wouldn't get too worked up about the polls. Like I said, this is a team that's going to prove it over the course of the season. Like, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. They are going to have to come out and bang on people. They're going to have to show that they're more physical. They're going to have to show that they're more athletic. They're going to have to show that that works, that Kevin Kruger can coach. Like, there's just too many unknowns to really, like, have those high expectations to start the year. But, you know, after, I think we'll learn a lot after this first week. Let us look at these first three games. Let us see, you know, what do they get? Gardner Webb, Cal, North Dakota State. There's three games in 1 week. Bang, bang, bang. 5 days, three games. Let's see if that depth and that athleticism and that size and that, you know, bully ball or whatever style they're going to play. Let's see how that works. If they come out 3-0 and they look great and they hold all three teams under 50 points and they're making enough three pointers and Bryce Hamilton is shooting 50% from the field. And then at that point, reset your expectations. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you'll know, like, this team can go up. They can go pretty far. They can compete in the Mountain West. If they come out and it's kind of sluggish and the defense isn't quite there, then it's like, this is a team that's going to need the course of the season to figure things out. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with where they were picked or the expectations on them. I think this is a team that's going to reveal itself more over the course of the year than it's just too unknown.
You really do think they could be 3-0?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gardner Webb, I would expect to win. North Dakota State, I'd expect to win. Cal, is Cal supposed to be good this year? Like, I don't view them as like an unbeatable program. Although they did beat UNLV last year. I don't think it's not impossible.
I really envy you, Michael. I really do, because it's got to be tough covering a losing team over and over and over again. You know, here we got this great university, right? Great city, great facilities, and you just keep shooting yourself in the foot with managing the programs, right? You know, can't get the basketball team plays at the Thomas and Mack Center. It's an arena. It's an NBA type of arena. There's a national championship banner hanging in the Raptors. They've got a premier basketball facility in the Mendenhall Center. And they haven't been to the tournament since 2013. Michael, 2013. And every year it's the same thing. We sit here and we talk every year about the same thing. In football, it's the same thing. What coach are we going to hire to win two games? Bobby Houck, Tony Sanchez, Marcus Arroyo, right?
So you at least have to – you must like at least Kruger's approach, where he's like – he's not coming in to do like a rebuild, where Marvin Menzies was like very – like right off the bat, Menzies was – before he even coached his first game, saying like, this is going to take 5 years before we're good. So like Kruger's not doing that. You have to like that he went out and got 10 play right away transfers and that there's a chance, that they could be
Michael,
good.
Because he's one of us. He gets it. This is UNLV. Every year you got to win. none of this 2-year plan. Now, Marvin Menzies, you got to give him a mulligan because he basically said, hey, 9 other people don't want the job. I'll take it. And let me go recruit guys from Division II JC.
Fair. But that was one year. That was just his first year. After that, he has to take ownership.
This is UNLV basketball. You got to go and win every year. The goal is to win, to get to the tournament, to make a run, to put butts in the seats, to run out of the red carpet. This is UNLV. This is not Fresno State, Michael. This is not Colorado State. This is not Reno. This is UNLV. This is 3 Final Fours in 5 years. And I don't care. Oh, don't live in the past. Don't live. Forget that. Forget that. This is UNLV. The people that are going to be there on Wednesday to watch you play Gardner Webb, all were there when they went to 3 Final Fours in 5 years. They have the expectation to go to the Final Four, and Kevin Kruger does too because he's one of us.
What kind of crowd?
He's a rebel. He's a rebel. He's from here. He's a Vegas guy. They hire somebody in the family. You don't go to Iowa State to bring somebody into your family and then know the guy wants to go back to his family. You hire somebody that bleeds scarlet and gray, and that's why Kevin Kruger's going to do good because – this is his. It's personal to him. It's personal. The man loves this university. It's personal. This is his identity.
What is the Thomas and Mack Center going to look like at this home opener on Wednesday? Like, what kind of crowd are they going to get?
Well, that's unfortunate. I don't think they'll have any problem social distancing.
Yeah, you think it's going to be low? Like final years of the Menzies era low, like 2,000-3,000?
I don't know that low, but I mean, I don't think they could give out enough free tickets to get people there. I just think that the past losses, right? Not great. The fact that some people are spending their money to go to hockey games, not great. I think you're going to lose a few people because of the vaccine mandate, right?
Yep.
I know one prominent person who gave up his 4 tickets near the floor.
Although I do think there will be maybe not as many, but I also think you'll gain some people who probably wouldn't go without the vaccine mandate. Like if I was going to a sporting event as a fan, I wouldn't go and wear a mask all game. I'd just stay home and watch it on TV. But if there was a vaccine mandate and I could go and not wear a mask and just be vaccinated, then I would consider going to that. So I think they may pick up some fans because of that too.
Okay. But, and I also do think, Michael, that they're going to get there'll be a few more students there.
Yeah.
Which I think is important. I'm sorry to get all emotional, but it's just like,
good. It's
you
good.
You see a preseason poll and you're picked 7th behind Fresno? I mean, it's so embarrassing. That is, if you're in charge of UNLV athletics, if you go to work every day and your sole purpose is to market the team or to get the team to win better, and you look at it and you're like, dude, I'm in Las Vegas, a professional city with this great stadium and this great arena, great practice facility, great history. We're investing all this money and we're picked 7th behind Fresno. I mean, come on. Why don't you call a high school coach and have him come, pay him $80,000 a year, and you could be picked to be finished 8th. I mean, you don't play to be 7th behind Fresno. That's embarrassing. Fresno's a dog pit. They play literally in a gymnasium. It's not even an arena. You've covered a game in Fresno. They give you like, you want to get a drink at the game at Fresno? They got a cooler with some RC soda in there. And that's it, Michael. RC.
I like RC Cola. But let me ask you to sort of wrap this up because I got to hustle over to the Marcus Arroyo press conference. But let me ask you, when we're recording this same podcast a week from now on Tuesday, UNLV has played, basketball has played 3 games. What is their record? And where would you slot them into the poll at that point in the Mountain West? Like, where do you think they're going to be a week from now?
So I think they're 2-1 because I like to be optimistic, but I realize this team has got 0 live reps in a game. So let's be fair. And I think they're at least top four. I'm okay with Colorado State, San Diego State, Reno, and maybe Boise. But I think UNLV is right there, five, fighting with Reno, Colorado State, and Boise, in my humble opinion.
Okay. That seems pretty, you know, that seems pretty reasonable. That seems pretty attainable. What if they go 3-0? How are you feeling when a week from now on this podcast? Are you full back on playing the fight song? UNLV basketball is back, baby.
If they're 3-0, I'm doing somersaults, Michael. I'm doing somersaults. And so is my mom. She's ready to go.
That's good to hear. I'm just glad that they're back and there's going to be fans in the building and it's a real season and that they seem like they've got potential and this could be an exciting year to cover the team. So I am also excited to get started.
All right. Well, for Michael, I'm Raymond, and we will talk to you guys the next time.